Welcome to The Spirit of Chester County, a program which introduces you to Catholics in Chester County and the western suburbs who are making a difference with the Catholic faith. Now with this week's guest, here's Lloyd Broach on The Spirit of Chester County.
Ever heard of the Knights of Columbus? Probably have. If you've ever been to Mass, maybe at a large church. I remember when I was a young boy, the Knights used to come in these incredible uniforms. Actually, my sister called them costumes. I guess the Knights would take exception with that. But Knights of Columbus are active in just about every parish, I guess, in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, maybe even the world. So I thought, where could we learn about the Knights of Columbus? So I thought, why not go to the boss? We'll go to a grand knight and find out what it's about. So today I have Pat Torrey with me. Pat lives in Westchester. And this is a very interesting topic for me because of the two things. Number one, the parish he belongs to is St. Maximian Kolbe. And when Kolbe was a young Franciscan priest, he actually founded his own knights called the Knights of Immaculata, or the MI. So I'm very interested to learn how the Knights of Columbus came about and maybe a little bit of how Pat came to visit us here. So, Pat, thank you very much for having us.
Sure, Lloyd, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So you're a very interesting guy. Pat is a native of the Washington, D.C. area. He survived and became a grown-up, even though he had to live near Washington, and later joined the U.S. Marine Corps as a Marine Corps officer. And then after his stint in the Marine Corps, it sounds like a long one, he went to school, back to college and graduate school, and now lives here in Westchester with his family. Pat, how on earth did you get a hold of the Knights of Columbus, or how did they get a hold of you? I mean, maybe that's the right answer. I don't know.
Sure, and that's a great question, Lloyd. I actually joined the Knights when I was 28, and I think a lot of people have an impression of the Knights as a much older group, demographic 70s, 80s, playing poker, maybe doing a few fundraisers, and we actually have a pretty broad demographic distribution. We have Knights who are in their 20s and 30s, and we certainly have a lot of active Knights in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. But I joined when I was 28. As you said, I was in the Marine Corps as an infantry officer stationed down in North Carolina, and I had just relocated back to the Washington, D.C. area where my father, my parents, and my wife and her family lived. And my father and my future father-in-law were both active Knights of Columbus in their local parish. And I thought, what a great opportunity for me to get involved with just a phenomenal group of men who do tremendous charitable works. They're very active spiritually, supporting the church, supporting a lot of very worthy causes in the local area. And I just was inspired a lot by what my father and my father-in-law were doing. And so I took the opportunity to get involved, and we have a series of what we refer to as degrees, and they're basically the opportunity for new candidates to get exposure to what the Knights do and to join a local council. So I joined back in, 1999 in Northern Virginia. And then as we've moved over the last several years, I was involved in a council in Chicago and in a few in the Philadelphia area. And we've been here in Westchester for about 5 years now. And I've been involved with the local council here at St. Max. And it's just been a tremendous experience.
Can you tell me a little bit about the history of the Knights of Columbus? When did it start? Is it international? Is it just the United States?
Sure. We were started up in Connecticut, and initially we did a couple things. We were defenders of the priests. We were defenders of the church, and we provided a lot of support for widows of Catholic men who joined our order. And initially the insurance component of what the Knights of Columbus supports was a big part, initially speaking, was to be able to have an organization where we could provide financial benefits to widows of Catholic men who've served as knights. And it's grown over time. Certainly the insurance component of what we do for our members is a nice benefit to them, but it's really the organization has grown and become a more broad, have a lot more broad exposure in terms of what we do. And the charitable efforts that we're involved with, certainly pro-life is a big component of what we do as Knights. We are very strong supporters of pro-life efforts. We have a number of activities locally. We get a big group together to go down nationally for the National Right to Life events in January each year. So that's a big component of what we do. Again, we support, we do a lot of fundraisers that support the parish, that support our local Catholic schools and education programs. And so it's really, there are a number of issues and causes that we're involved with.
Our guest is Pat Torrey. Pat Torrey is the Grand Knight of the Knights of Columbus at St. Maximian Kolbe Parish and is very involved, as you can tell, from the Knights of Columbus, not only here, but obviously in several other states. What would, I guess, a knight recruiting committee look for in a prospective knight? What kind of a member do you like to have?
Well, to qualify to be able to become a knight, you have to be over 18 years old. And really, we're looking for Catholic gentlemen who are in good standing, good practicing Catholics. Mm-hmm. And so the requirements are not too stringent. But what we're looking for are men who really want to get involved and make a difference, not only with the local church, but to join a group. It is a fraternity. It is a Catholic men's service fraternity. So our four main principles are charity, unity, fraternity, and patriotism. And all four are very important to us. So I think a lot of folks, when they think of the Knights, they think of charity because we do a lot of charitable support, charitable fundraisers. We, in our own council, we host a big comedy night fundraiser in November of each year. And we raise a good bit of money. We get a lot of local corporate support, a lot of donations. We have a silent auction. And we're able to raise a good amount of money that we are then able to distribute to a number of pro-life causes, women's group. We support some youth overseas. We certainly support our parish in a number of ways. And so we want men who are going to be involved, who like getting involved in the charitable fundraising effort. It's also a fraternal organization, and so we are a brotherhood. And I got to tell you that is one of the most important components to me. It is truly inspiring to me to be surrounded by a group of, we have 100 men in our council, and so many of these guys are just incredibly generous with their time and their talents. Some of them are accountants, some are lawyers, some are doctors, and so they bring their talents and their time and their effort to the council, which really is an incredible thing. And it's inspiring to see how generous your fellow men can be, and it makes you want to give more as well. And so we do a lot to support each other. We just a week ago held a memorial mass for the 16 members of our council who have passed away in the past 15 years that we've been in existence as a council. And so what's important there is that not only does this bond of brotherhood, do we support each other, but we really honor those of our brothers who served and are now gone, and really and their families. We support their families. We had a number of widows and family members of our deceased knights who were able to join us for a very nice mass where we recognized and honored them. We had a great breakfast and reception afterwards for the families. And so it's more than just the charitable efforts. It's the fraternity of brothers who really want to support each other and support their families that makes it really such a special organization.
Our guest is Pat Torrey. He is the Grand Knight of the Knights of Columbus at St. Maximian Kolbe. You're listening to The Spirit of Chester County right here on 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP. And when we return, we're going to learn a little bit about the actual Knights of Columbus Council there at St. Max in Westchester. I want to thank Joe Wasinek of Wasinek, Brogan & Stanzione, who's been very generous with his contribution to make this program possible. And we'll be back in a minute.
The law firm of Wasinek, Brogan, and Stanzione supports Holy Spirit Radio over WCOJ. Wasinek, Brogan, and Stanzione can help you with personal injury, disability, work injury, or medical negligence. Representing the communities of Chester and Berks counties and beyond with the highest ethical standards and professional excellence. Wasinek, Brogan, and Stanzione is proud to support Coatesville Spotlight over WCOJ. You can reach Wasinek, Brogan, and Stanzione at 610-594-1600 or on the World Wide Web at wasinekbrogan.com.
You're listening to The Spirit of Chester County on 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP. My name is Lloyd Roach, and we're speaking with Pat Torrey, who is the Grand Knight of the Knights of Columbus of St. Maximian Colby Parish in Westtown. And I think this subject of the Knights of Columbus is particularly of interest to people, Pat, because I think there's some confusion about what the mission is. You very eloquently described what exactly you do. But let's take it down to a parish level, if I may, and just ask you, what can a knight in an individual parish do to contribute? I realize there are national programs and things that you guys do, but what do you do on the local level? I mean, that sort of thing. Oh, by the way, we're being joined by his dog here. We're actually in Pat's kitchen. So if you hear the dog talking from time to time, he's just adding to the program.
Yeah, this is Dewey. He's our new puppy, and he's just very excited to be involved with anything. Right. So he can't go 2 minutes without playing. So, but, yeah, that's a good question. And I think that at one point I would make, and, you know, recruiting for the Knights is it's challenging. When you talk to a lot of folks, and I'm 40, I've got 3 young children, 9 and twin 6-year-olds. And so we've got a ton of activities. We're involved with softball and lacrosse and dance and ballet and a lot of activities. And it's hard sometimes to find time. And I think that that's one of the big responses I get when I talk to men in the parish my age about joining the Knights. But I think it's important that folks know that it's whatever the commitment that you want to make it. And so if you want to become heavily involved and attend the monthly meetings and get involved in every activity, you can do that. And there is so much tremendous work that you can do to serve your council and to serve your local community and parish. If you don't, and you don't have as much time, you know, pick one meeting a year. Pick one or two events a year. I've got a good friend of mine in the neighborhood who's got the same situation. He's my age with young kids, and he doesn't have a ton of time, but he comes to maybe one or two meetings a year, and he'll be out flipping burgers at a picnic fundraiser, or he'll work a shift where we raise money for the disabled, and we're collecting money outside of an Acme. So he'll get involved when he can, but he doesn't have the time or feel the necessity to come to every meeting and get involved with every event. And I think that it's important for those who aren't knights that they know that it's not a huge commitment. It's whatever commitment they want to make it. And I think that they will find that over time they will want to get more involved because they recognize that there are so many good works that we as knights do that they'll want to get more involved, and they'll be inspired by what they see their fellow men doing. And maybe they haven't been involved much with pro-life activities in the past, or they haven't been involved with the disabled and Special Olympics, or they haven't done as much with the parish as they might have liked in the past. And they'll find that, you know, these opportunities are out there, and the Knights is a great outlet for them to participate in some of these things.
I think one of the interesting things to me is that we have a lot of service clubs around here, and of course we're all over Pennsylvania. You know, we have the Rotary and the Kiwanee and the exchange clubs and so forth. And it's always struck me as the Knights are kind of a Catholic version of that, where they have a public service component, but also a fraternal component that you talked about, the brotherhood of the Knights. And I guess the big connection, the fact is that you're all Catholic and you're all practicing Catholics, and you obviously have that tremendous bond in common. But is that hard to explain to people who aren't knights? For example, if you're bringing a new guy in, you want to say, oh, here's what we do. Sometimes I think maybe this boys' club's a little bit too much for me. You ever get that from anyone?
I think there's there's ceremonial aspects of the organization, right. And so I think that can be a little confusing to some folks, right, who just don't know what it's all about. But I think that they'll come to understand as we talk to them about it that it really helps to just drive home the point of what we're trying to do as knights and the importance of what we're doing. And again, those principles of charity, unity, fraternity, and patriotism. So a lot of what we do are really supporting those principles. And we write I write a monthly newsletter to our council. And one of the things that I do is on the front page, I have a military service recognition. And we have a number of knights in our council who served in the Army or the Air Force, Navy, or Marine Corps. And I like to talk to them about their service, some of whom served in World War II, many of whom served in Vietnam, and some, like myself, more recently in the service. And so we like to highlight that because patriotism is a very important part of what we do, along with the charitable components, and certainly the spiritual aspect. We pray the rosary together at our meetings. We have a men's spiritual group.
You pray the rosary at every meeting?
It's, you know, more recently, I think in the 5 years that I've been here in Westchester and with this council, we've done it from time to time. I've been trying to make it a more regular event as part of our meeting. Our meetings typically go about an hour or so, and then we've got some beer and pizza afterwards and some nice socializing, which makes it fun. But trying to carve out a portion of that meeting where, you know, I think a lot of folks forget that praying the rosary doesn't take an hour. It takes about 15 minutes. But it is this incredibly powerful experience. And when you've got a room of 30 men praying the rosary together and addressing their intentions ahead of us praying together, it's a very moving experience. It's very powerful. And so the spiritual component of what we do as Knights, along with being brothers as a fraternity and serving our community and our church, is very important to us. We also have a men's spirituality group that meets every other week at the parish, and that's run by a number of the Knights in the council, some of whom you know. And so the Knights are not just about charity. We're not, we're not just about the social fraternal aspect. The spiritual component of what we do is critical to our existence. And I think that for men who are attending church but maybe want a deeper connection with God and a deeper connection with the parish, I think that the Knights provides a great opportunity for them to do that with their fellow men who also hold that very near and dear to their hearts.
It's interesting to me that, and I'm going to go back to that rosary thing in a minute, because it's so countercultural in today's world to have a bunch of men, 20 or 30 men, sit in a room and pray the rosary. That sounds like something out of the 1950s. Something that happened to my wife and I just a couple weekends ago. We went to central Pennsylvania to just have some fun in a place called Bedford County. Well, very few people have been to Bedford County. It's down in the lower part of the state. It's literally exactly halfway across the state near the Maryland line. And so we went to a 5 o'clock mass on a Saturday in Bedford County's only Catholic church. And I understand, after visiting this, that they say the rosary before every mass.
Wow, that's
and
great.
I thought, it's like walking back into 1955, because this is what you did, way, way pre-Vatican II, you know, at least in many of the parishes did. So it's kind of good that you guys are upholding these traditions, while at the same time we have MSNBC and CNN competing for everything else, you know. So it's really good that you, and I say countercultural, I mean literally, it is not of our culture today for men to sit in a room and do that.
Well, and one other way regarding the rosary, we've been able to influence the youth in our church and in our local school at St. Max. There's a gentleman nearby in Westchester who started what's called the Family Rosary Crusade.
Really?
And he's been reaching out to local parishes and local Knights of Columbus to put in, to instill a program that enforces praying of the rosary with the children in the parish. And what we did was we purchased, we as the Knights, this is where we got involved, we purchased about 40 or 45 statues of the Blessed Mother. Mm-hmm. And we got in coordination with the local PrEP or CCD program, however folks are referring to it nowadays. And they put together these pouches. And in these pouches, you had the statue, you had a rose, you have a rosary, and you've got a laminated card that gives instructions about how to pray the rosary. And each one of these pouches, or pouches, let's call them 45, were distributed to all the different PrEP classes or the different classes at the school. And the idea is that a different child each week will take this home with them, and it will encourage them to pray the rosary with their families. And it's been incredibly received. We did this a few months ago, and my daughter was the first in her class to bring it home. And her eyes lit up. And she was so excited that she got to do it first. And she brought it home, and we had the statue, and we had the card, and we prayed the rosary together. And it was incredible. I'm embarrassed to say that I had not prayed the rosary with my 9-year-old up until that point.
Well, that's what I mean, is that this just isn't done in our rock and roll world today, see? And that's why I think it's so incredible that you guys are doing this sort of thing, because it really, it does restore the traditions, and look what happened to your own daughter when exposed to this.
My friend who I mentioned earlier, his daughter, a few weeks later, she got it, and the feedback we've gotten from prep and from the school is that it's just been a home run. And that's about putting your capital to use in the most effective way. We do a lot of great fundraisers, and then we distribute funds to very worthy causes, but this wasn't a tremendous financial requirement, but we were able to use these dollars in a way, and someone had a great idea, and you pair them up together, and the impact that I think this is going to have with kids for many, many years is they're going to be able to begin this tradition in their lives and share it with their families and bring their parents, who maybe haven't prayed the rosary in a number of years, get them praying the rosary again and really kind of reaffirming their Catholic faith. And we think that that's, you know, again, our ability to impact the community and the youth within the parish is very special to us. And so that's important.
Our guest is Pat Torrey. He is the Grand Knight of the St. Maximian Kolbe's chapter of the Knights of Columbus. And you're listening to the Spirit of Chester County right here at 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP. And this program is specific to Chester County, since obviously one of the stations that you hear us on right now is in Chester County. We always try to highlight some people that are doing some interesting things in Chester County. And I think the Knights of Columbus, Pat, are doing things a lot more than just interesting. Any other programs you guys are involved in beside this kind of thing? You mentioned the pro-life activities. We've all, well, not all of us, but some of us have been down to the Planned Parenthood in Westchester, which, of course, is a real focal point for the pro-life activity. They've been doing it for decades. You mentioned Charlie Carbo, one of your members, is an incredible, incredible individual in that part. He just never lets go with this, and he has just been saintly, literally.
Charlie's an amazing individual, and Charlie and Joe Pizzino, another one of our knights, right, both of whom are past grand knights for our council, are just phenomenal leaders, and they are passionate about pro-life, as they should be, as we all should be. And they really set the course and drive our efforts there. So we're involved not only with 40 Days for Life, but certainly the monthly procession to Planned Parenthood to pray the rosary and really have some influence. And I know there have been a number of instances where women who've come into Planned Parenthood and have had subsequent discussions with our folks who've been out there have made these great decisions for life and for their unborn children. And so the impact there is, it's just unquantifiable. It's amazing that that we can have influence there and support life and support these mothers, who many of whom are going through very difficult situations, and we want to support them and help them understand what a precious gift they've been given, and know that there are people out there who love them and pray for them. And Charlie and Joe help lead those efforts, and we get involved in a number of different ways. We've raised money to help provide ultrasound machines to some of the local Chester County women's service groups that have a much more Christian orientation, right, than some of these so-called parental supporting groups. So we're involved in a number of efforts on a pro-life front. It's a very important part of what the Knights do.
One of the military analogies for me, in fact, Pat and I talked a little bit before we went on the air about some of our shared experiences in amphibious forces. And I remember when I was aboard my LST many, many years ago, they used to say that we were the tip of the spear. In other words, we were the first ones in. And I think of the pro-life guys that walk up and down that line at Planned Parenthood are most definitely the tip of the spear. Everybody talks about it, but these guys do it in the cold, in the wet, you know, in the sun, and they do it all the time. And I heard stories. In fact, April's program on this radio station was about the 40 Days of Life, and we took our mics down to Planned Parenthood, and we did the program from there. We did it actually from the line. But
that's great.
Out there. And the messages that we got on that day that we put on the air were really powerful, because here the volunteers, these people you mentioned, and some women that were there, told me stories about how some of the women going into Planned Parenthood were kind of looking over at the pro-life people, and they would stop. They would literally stop in their tracks and leave. And I said, is that a win? They said, absolutely, that's a win.
Absolutely. That's said, great.
So it may not have been permanent that day, but it was a win on that day. So, yeah. So
we are defenders of priests. We are defenders of the church, and we're defenders of life. And that is at the heart of what we do and what our purpose is as knights. We had a baby bottle campaign a couple months ago where we sent home, we had a big basket outside of our parish, and it was a big crib full of empty baby bottles, and the families took the baby bottles home and filled up their spare change over the coming weeks and brought the baby bottles back. And all of this fundraising goes to support women's groups, women's service groups.
How do you
deal
with that campaign? I know I brought mine back. I felt badly because there were some pennies in it. I thought,
you know, we actually, I think we raised about $3,500,
wow,
which, you know, it's great. And every year we're able to raise these funds and put them to really good use. There are a lot of groups out there that need our support, and that's just one of the many ways that we can help them. Yeah,
Pat, before you leave, I want to ask you that you mentioned that the Knights, one of the initial missions was defender of priests. And can you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, obviously, we're going through this terrible scandal right now in the Archdiocese and as well as other dioceses around the countries. But reaching back far enough, I mean, overall, what kind of defense are we talking about? The defense of their mission, defense of their vocations? I mean, what?
Well, both. I mean, we're a big supporter of vocations. We give, again, to talk about our charitable efforts, part of the money that we spend a lot of, we raise a lot of money effectively, and one of the ways that we put that money to use is through vocations. We sponsor seminarians.
I see.
So these young men who are making this incredible decision to enter the priesthood and go to the seminary, we support them with funding. It's a tough road, and we respect and honor those who've made that challenging decision and taken that tough path. We want to be supporters for them. If you look at our mission statement and in the newsletter that I referred to earlier, it talks about our mission statement, and right in the heart of it is, as I mentioned earlier, charity, unity, fraternity, and patriotism are the foundation, cornerstones of our order, and in solidarity with the St. Maximilian Kolbe Parish priests, we work diligently to defend, preserve, and promote quality of life by organizing programs that involve family, community, liturgy, and Christian values. So we see ourselves in really partnership with the priests. I spend a good bit of time talking to our pastor, Monsignor Carroll, Father Capizzi, another one of our priests at St. Max, to really understand what they're trying to accomplish and how we can help them. I'll get an email or a phone call from the Monsignor or someone from the rectory saying, we need a number of knights, you know, we need 10 knights to help us with this effort. In fact, we've got a May procession coming up in a couple weeks, and they need about 10 knights to help carry in Mary and some of the flags and to be involved. And that's just one of many ways we can help, but we want to be a resource for the priests. We want to be advocates for them and helpers of their cause in any way we can. So not only are we supporting them and the parish financially, but we also, as we've got 100 men, and we've got 100 able-bodied men who are willing to put their talents to use. And we want to make sure that the priests know that we are an active resource for them and that we can work in conjunction to support their mission.
Well, Pat Troia, I couldn't have put it more eloquently than you have. You're an excellent spokesperson for the Knights of Columbus, and I really appreciate it. And I hope you continue your good work and all of the guys that are with you. I think it's just wonderful. I'm really delighted to have met you and to hear more about this. And if we haven't loused this up, maybe you'll invite us back soon, I hope.
I certainly will. And I think for anyone who's interested in the Knights, if you're a St. Max parishioner, you can go to stmaxknights.org. Or depending on wherever you're located, I would reach out to your local rectory and find out who the contacts are for your local Knights of Columbus Council. You can always fall back and go to Google. And if you Google Knights of Columbus, you'll be able to find your local council. And we are always looking for able, capable men who want to contribute and get involved. And I appreciate the opportunity to join you on your program, Lloyd. Thanks.
Well, thank you. We want to thank Wasenik Brogan and Stanzione in Downingtown, attorneys at law, for helping support this program. And I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. This is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to The Spirit of Chester County, a program which introduces you to Catholics in Chester County and the western suburbs who are making a difference with the Catholic faith. The Spirit of Chester County is made possible by a generous grant from the law firm of Wusinek, Brogan & Stanzione in Downingtown. Join us again next time on The Spirit of Chester County, right here on 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP, Holy Spirit Radio for the Delaware Valley.